I do love an eponym. Hello and welcome to this week's Urgent Bite, brought to you by the Royal New Zealand College of Urgent Care. My name is Guy Melrose, and those of you who have listened to this podcast regularly will be familiar with my penchant for a good eponym. I've always enjoyed the language of medicine. I remember my mind being blown at school when I first learned that adrenaline and the adrenal glands are so called because they lie alongside the kidney. To then learn that Americans call adrenaline epinephrine, for similar reasons, was just as cool. I love how medicine has long and complicated names that can be broken down into their simple constituent parts, elegantly describing the condition. So costo, chondr, and itis, for example. And then the muscle, for example, sartorius, being so named because the Latin word sartor means tailor. The way tailors used to sit cross-legged led to this muscle being named the tailor's muscle. When I learned this, the phrase sartorial elegance suddenly made sense, and the muscle has never left my brain since. Or what about herpes zoster? Herpes is Greek for creep, and zoster means a belt or a girdle, so it is the creeping belt rash. Now this may not work for you, but this method of learning through association has always been the one that works for me. And I guess that's why I have always liked a good eponym. It adds to the language of medicine. If I were to say that I have seen a right-handed farmer whose thumb was hit by a swinging gait and sustained a slightly displaced intra-articular fracture of the proximal first metacarpal with extension into the carpometacarpal joint, you would have a very good description of my patient's injury. But what if I said I had a right-handed farmer with a Bennett's fracture? We would have saved at least a little bit of time. I enjoy looking into the people behind the names, as I find it helps me file the knowledge away in my brain. Edward Bennett was an Irish surgeon and anatomist who studied and then taught at Trinity College in Dublin. In 1880, he described the fracture that now bears his name at a BMA meeting in Cork. That was how names got attached to conditions. You were the first to describe it in the literature, and there you go. Back at the dawn of medicine, conditions were just waiting to be discovered, and therefore named. So it's not surprising that there are a lot of fractures named after male surgeons from the 1800s. Which brings me to my eponyms this week. I was drawn to a tweet a few weeks ago by Andrew Tagg, an emergency physician in Melbourne. He had asked his followers if they could name eponymous medical conditions that had been named after women. So I thought I would share some of the suggestions, at least the ones that are most relevant to urgent care. So, the first relates to Margaret Dix, a British neuro-otologist born in 1902. If I were to tell you that her surname is spelt with an X, you might identify her as being part of the Dix-Hallpike test, which we use to diagnose benign paroxysmal positional vertigo. She studied medicine in the Royal Free Hospital in London and published over 100 papers on neuro-otology and died in 1991, aged 89. Now the next one that caught my eye was the Scarbosa criteria. This criteria is used to help diagnose acute myocardial infarction in the presence of a left bundle branch block. It is named after Dr. Elena Scarbosa. My apologies if my pronunciation is poor, and she's an Argentine-American cardiologist who is active on Twitter if you want to follow her work. Now, whilst not a common urgent care condition, you might see the odd Spitz nevus in your travels. Dr. Sophie Spitz was an American pathologist who published the first case of the Spitz nevus in 1948. This is a benign melanocytic nevus that often resembles a melanoma and is therefore often diagnosed definitively after excision. And whilst we will hopefully not have to use this next score in an urgent care, it is a score of which we should all be familiar. Virginia Apgar was an American anaesthetist who developed the test that bears her name. People have since turned her name into a backronym, forcing the letters of her name to fit words that describe her test. And this will probably contribute to people thinking that the test is actually an acronym. But it is in fact the name of a pioneering obstetric anaesthetist. Now, to lead on from all of the orthopaedic eponyms that I've mentioned in previous podcasts, and including Bennett's today, it does seem that this is a bastion of the male surgeon. But someone in the tweet thread did suggest the Wynne-Davies criteria for ligament laxity. This criteria is named after Ruth Wynne-Davies, an orthopaedic surgeon who trained at the Royal Free in 1947. She also pioneered research into scoliosis, which, as I've mentioned in a previous podcast, was the condition which literally gave orthopaedics its name. Ortho meaning straight, and peds meaning kids. Orthopaedics was originally about making kids with scolioses stand up straight. And finally, I'm sure that we will all request EBV serology at some point when we see the teenager with a classic glandular fever picture. Yvonne Barr was a virologist who started out at Trinity College in Dublin before working in London and then moving to Melbourne, where she died in 2016, aged 83. I do think it is valuable to know what lies behind the eponyms we so frequently use. For me, it helps me learn and remember the information by having it in some form of context. I hope some of what I have talked about here has been interesting and hopefully enlightening. If you have any eponyms of interest, particularly those named after female clinicians, email podcast@rnzcuc.org.nz. Also, if you are on Twitter, follow Andy Tagg, whose tweet triggered the flurry of replies that contain the inspiration for this podcast today. His Twitter handle is in the show notes. And one final note, if you are interested in attending our online virtual urgent care bootcamp later this year in September, check out the link in the show notes where you can see the program and also buy tickets. We have speakers giving talks from all corners of the world on urgent care relevant topics, so do please consider joining us online on the 19th and 20th of September. There's currently early bird prices, and there are reduced rates for nurses, paramedics, and allied health professionals. Now, we'll be back again next week with another podcast. I look forward to seeing you all then, but for now, thanks for listening.